Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Cafe Esoterica Radio on Blog Talk Radio. Come on in, pull up a cozy chair, and listen to wonderment as we bring you the most enlightened guests on web radio. I am your hostess with the mostest, Sean Cohen. That's me, a psychic, medium, metaphysician, author of 4 books, teacher of esoteric knowledge for 37 years and counting, which is why I am so proud and honored to bring you the authors and practitioners in the know from the Mind, Body, and Spirit Compendium of Life, as well as experts in divination and holistic healing, fabulous tarot readers, wise and profound astrologers, and even the odd rock star, just for your edification and enlightenment. We've been on hiatus, but we're back in the saddle again and raring to go for our 4th season of Cafe Esoterica Radio, broadcasting to you live every Thursday at 7 to 8:30 p.m. UK time, 2 to 3:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, and worldwide, so find your time zone and dive in. Want to be part of the show? Please do. Call in on our new number, which is 858-956-3204. Chat in our chat room, which is located at the end of our landing page on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't find it there, just refresh your page and it will appear. Can't catch us live? Not to worry. You can find us on many formats like TuneIn, Podbean, Stitcher, and now Spotify. And you can watch me simultaneously broadcast our show every week live on YouTube. Just go to YouTube.com, put in the search Cafe Esoterica Radio, and you'll see me there live talking to you. So grab your latte, your cappuccino, perhaps a herbal tea, and your best friend, and trip the light fantastic with us once more. And as always, your table is reserved. So come on in. So, right, come on in. Around the world, heard on many formats. If you are just here for the first time, you're very welcome. If you're here for the millionth time, you're extremely welcome. You're all welcome. Tonight, it is my joy and pleasure to bring you yet another outstanding, amazing guest. But before I get to my guest, let's do a little show news. Now, tonight is the last show of the season. And what that means is that I'm going to take a little break. I already announced this on the YouTube. So if you're watching me live on YouTube, say hello. Hi. It's London. It's me. It's in my home. And if you're listening to me on Blog Talk Radio, say hi in the chat room. There's a chat room there. There's a chat room here on the YouTube channel. How do you find the YouTube channel? Go to YouTube. And in the search, put Cafe Esoterica Radio, and you will see me. Okay, it'll show a little live button, whatever's live. You know, it shows that, and that's me. And write in the chat room and say hello. This is the last show until January 2020. So our theme tonight, Halloween or All Hallows Eve, is the 31st of October. We're not there quite yet. But it is the season of the witch. It is the season of autumn, which is, by the way, my daughter's name. I named her Autumn after the beautiful song by Justin Hayward. He didn't write it. Jeff Wayne did for War of the Worlds. But I heard it first in 1978, and I said to myself, if I ever have a daughter, I'm going to name her Autumn. And I certainly did. She just had her 23rd birthday on September 27th. So once again, I want to wish my gorgeous daughter, Autumn, a happy birthday. Tonight, we will be featuring a most outstanding guest. I'm going to talk about her in a minute, but there's a couple themes going on. One is it's the autumn time. Two is while I'm away, we will see Thanksgiving and, of course, Halloween before that. And then Christmas. So we're not doing Christmas, but we are going to just mention a few of these things. It's going to be showing up in the music tonight. So what does it take to do a show like this? Well, let's talk about it. I had an idea in 2016. First of all, this isn't the first radio show I ever did in my life. In 1999, I came up with an idea to do a radio show on the web, which was very unusual back then. And it was called Cafe. It was called the Psychic Cafe. That's what it was called. The very similar kind of stuff. And because my own background is in mind, body, spirit, metaphysics, etc., I just thought, wow, I wonder if people out there in the world really know what's out there. Because I had dedicated my life to this work, and I was very busy traveling all over the world and doing it, I just thought, there's so many great practitioners and authors and spiritually awakened people. And, you know, who's doing this? Who's talking about it? Even Oprah stuff is mild compared to what's really out there. And so in 1999, Maddie Radio out of Sarasota, Florida, asked me if I had an idea for a show. I pitched it to them. And they said, great. So we did it in London. And I came back from Florida. And then my dear student who was and still is, Ian Chatham works for one of the top recording studios here in London. And he just happened to be a student of mine. And he said, I'll help you, because I knew nothing. And I mean nothing about, I could barely use the internet. He did all the rendering. I didn't even do anything live. I was so nervous. I mean, it's funny to look back. I was so nervous. I couldn't do anything. Everything was scripted. And when I, you know, think about it, it makes me laugh. But we still had great guests on, and the guests were really amazing, and that really inspired me. And after we did 2 years of it, 1999 to 2001, and Maddie Radio was sold, and it's now SRQ.com. That's the short initials for Sarasota. And Maddie is lovely. God bless her. Hi to Maddie. Hi to Anne, who ran that whole shebang herself. That was real women's lib happening there in 1999. And it inspired me, you know. And then I got called to come on radio shows myself for the work that I do. And I've been on many radio shows across, from the States here and back. And I've also had the pleasure of being invited to be the psychic on Liberty Radio here in London when right before Princess Diana died. So it was very interesting because the guy who owned it was actually Mohammed Al-Fayed himself. And across the street was Harrods department store. So if you've ever been to London, you probably know some of this, but it was a very interesting experience to go back there and go on the air and talk about it right after it happened. So, you know, it's been an amazing radio. I've always loved radio. I've always loved music. I'm really devoted to music and amongst my many passions. And that's why I play rock music or soft rock or prog, because I love all that in my shows. So that sort of brings me to 3 years ago, another person asked me if I'd like to do a show. And then he pulled the plug at the last minute, being given some false information, although I think he was a bit of a phony himself, really. And that made me so angry because I was all hooked up for it, you know, that I finally decided, okay, fine, I'll do my own bloody show. What do I need him for? And once again, that determination, and I pulled in a good friend of mine from many years ago, and she's in Florida and I'm here in London. And between the two of us, but mostly I did it myself. I mean, I wrote the script, I booked the guest, the usual Aries thing, you know. And it's turned out amongst, you know, every odd, it's turned out to be very successful in that the stats of Blog Talk Radio show me that I have people all over the world listening to my show. Now, you know, that in itself is a huge triumph. To be heard in places like Indonesia, you know, all over the world. I mean, all over the world. It's amazing. All of Europe, you know, because it shows me every show. Now, do I get paid for the show? Not a penny. Do I have to pay to use Blog Talk Radio? Absolutely. So I pay to do this show. Do my guests get paid? No. But of course, we're putting them out there to the world. So my friends, my listeners, I just want to say thank you. Thank you very much for calling in, for chatting in the chat rooms, for making me know that you like what I'm doing, and making my guests comfortable, and understanding that this is, we need to move into a new world. We need to move into a world where psychics and mediums and tarot readers and holistic medicine and channelers and, you know, people who write beautiful mystical books for children. I'm just talking about some of my past lovely guests. And they're all on there, doctors who know how to heal instead of just give you another pill or give you toxic medicine, you know. People who are healing cancer and diabetes and all the chronic crap, you know. They're all listed on my previous shows. I've also had some amazing people who talk about spiritually awakening, you know. The spiritual journey is never easy. If it was easy, every person on the planet would be awake. What does it mean to be awake? I'm going to shut up in a minute, but let me just finish this thought. To be awake in a world that's asleep or even dumbed down is an amazing thing. First of all, it's painful. When you really look around and see what's going on in the world, it's shocking. When you're busy buying yourself 1,000 things to put on and you're completely focused on yourself all the time, you don't care. When you really look around and see how the world is being destroyed, who's behind destroying it, why the world and why people suffer on this planet, and why a lot of times the very people coming to help are crucified, burned at the stake, tortured, thrown in jail, what else? Have their tongue cut out? I mean, you know, it just never stops. But the beauty of life, and this is really important as we come to the Halloween and the end of a sort of a season as we roll into the winter time, is that through death comes resurrection. And spirit never dies. We never really die. We just go on. Energy can never die. So my guest tonight channels the spirit of Henry David Thoreau. Imagine all the people that ever wrote the greatest literature, made the greatest music, you know, wrote the greatest poetry. Imagine those people. And what you get is that they're out there. They're either reincarnated or they're out there. They're out there in the essence of energy. And that is my guest tonight, Catherine McIntyre, who has written a book called The Thoreau Whisperer. And if you would like to call in and speak to Catherine, by all means, you can. The number is, if you're outside the United States, you need to call 001, because that's the code to the United States. But if you're in the United States, you just dial 858-956-3204. And before I just last minute thing to thank my wonderful Jungian therapist, dream expert, and analyst, Catherine Olivetti. Her website is www.catherineolivetti.com. And do get her book on dreams called Dream Work, the 10 Most Important Things About Dreams. Okay, I'm going to bring up Catherine. Here she is. But before I do, let me read her intro. Oh my God, I'm getting a little fluxed here. Here we go. Catherine McIntyre is a writer and independent researcher who has studied the life and work of American author Henry David Thoreau and the literary history of Concord, Massachusetts, for over 25 years, both in university settings and independently. She has a BA in English from Michigan State University and has done graduate work at both Harvard University Extension and Lesley University in Cambridge, Massachusetts. She is also a natural psychic with the gift for connecting to those in spirit, an astrologer, an occasional ghost investigator, and an avid genealogist with ancestral ties to the Mayflower, to the Plantagenet kings of England, and to transcendentalist writers Margaret Fuller and Henry David Thoreau. I'd like to welcome you, Catherine. Hello,
thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. Hello, thank you so much, Sean. I appreciate it.
You're very
welcome.
I
couldn't agree with you more, all the wonderful things you were saying earlier, that I couldn't agree more about spirituality and the existence of life, you know, life after death, and that all those people that, like Thoreau and the others, they're all still out there in one form or another. We don't die.
You see, this is why you were saying, I mean, it's interesting. I always, it's interesting who contacts me to be on the show, and it's interesting who I find to be on the show. And you contacted mm-hmm. me, and I was gonna leave last week as the last bit, and then I thought, no, okay, that's interesting. I'll put you on. And it's so right that you're on my show. You're just perfect fit for it.
Yeah.
I love
that. I was just nodding through your whole thing. I'm like, yeah, that's it. Absolutely.
You know,
when I was first having this experience and, you know, kind of after and during, and it was time to put up a website and, you know, kind of present this to the world, one of the things that came to me one day, and this was, I attribute myself to this, not to so much to the channel, but I had this statement that I put on my website, and it says, I believe that if you pause for 5 minutes each day, close your eyes, and allow yourself to look within, you will find your truest self, and it is in that recognition that you will find your greatest joy. Open your hearts and minds to the possibilities, because the spirit within you is the you that will never end. Your life is yesterday, today, and every tomorrow. All who ever were, still are, and always will be. And that's the heart of my work, is to get that message out there.
And it's a beautiful message, really. It's, you know, because yeah. it's hard to fathom. A lot of people don't understand that we're multiple, you know, we exist on multiple levels. We're, you know, multi-layered
yes.
individual
yes.
souls, spirits, whatever you want to say.
But
we're going to talk about this. So let's go back, Catherine. I always do this to my lovely guest, and you know, because there are people out there who are contemplating the journey itself, learning from our guests, you know, and our own individual mm-hmm. journeys help them to kind of, oh, I've channeled people, maybe that's something I can do or whatever. So talk about mm-hmm. how it began for you. Where did you begin? Were you a psychic child? Did you just
I was yeah.
Okay, talk about that, please.
I was a psychic child, and I was raised by a mother who was born in Derby, England, and she had met my father during the war, during World War II, and came over in like 47. And so I come around, you know, over 10 years later, I'm born, and I'm the psychic kid, you know, the youngest and the most psychic, and I was dealing with it throughout my life, but she was very reluctant about it, and it's just, you know, kind of difficult for me to think about what could have been if she could have been more open to her own gifts, because I believe she had it, and I had somebody tell me one time that this gift that I had come through her, and she had received it from her mother, and then her mother, you know, to this sort of line of ancestry that this gift had come down, and that the women that had this during their lifetimes, they had been taught to keep quiet about it because this wasn't acceptable and you couldn't talk openly about it. And they all looked to me now, and it was like, now it's your turn. You can speak about this. And in ways they never could, and so they are kind of there supporting me through spirit as I go forward with it. But also, I think, wishing they could have been more open about their own gifts. But anyway, so it comes through my mother, And yet she was very much the one in my life that was like, oh, you're dreaming. You're making it up. That's not real. I'm like, but Mom, I can hear and I can see and this is going on. And no, it's not. So that was the kind of background I had growing up. It turned me into rather a reluctant psychic, I would say.
That's so
it took
funny.
Me
I have very similar story. You know, my mother my mother's mother was from Ireland. I mean, it's very similar, Catherine. I'll just share it. My mother's mother was from Ireland and her father was from Scotland. And they met in Canada and then came into New York. And my mother was the firstborn in their family. And my mother's mother was highly psychic and really into herbal things, you know, herbal medicine, folk medicine, they used to call it, folk medicine, right?
Yep.
And my mother had a big, you know, she never takes us to the doctor. She always wants to make her own medicine. So my mother, when I started demonstrating psychic ability, but even before that, I was born with a call. And my grandmother... Mm-hmm. was living in New York, and my parents were in Pittsburgh, which is where I was born. My father's from Pittsburgh, and also the son of an immigrant family, the Jewish side. That's the Jewish side. But anyway, so we've got at my birth, I was born with a call. My mother thought there was something wrong with me because I was born this way, and the doctor assured her, no, there's nothing wrong. This is normal. And then my father called my grandmother in New York, in Brooklyn. And said, you know, that my mother had me and how there was this thing called, and my grandmother, God bless her, said to my father, oh my God, the baby's going to be born. The baby is psychic. That's a symbol that the baby is psychic. And also, I heard her cry. I knew she was born. So my grandmother was the champion of the psychic, but not my mother. And my mother resented me for it. She really did. She thought, oh, God, here we go again, you know. But my point is, I want to make this point, that it is imperative that we learn that being psychic, mediumistic, telepathy, all these clairaudient, clairsentient, whatever, clairvoyance, is very normal.
Normal, exactly. Yeah, there's no paranormal. This is very natural and normal. It's a real part of life.
Yeah. So, and we are the showrunners. We are the people who come in and say, right, I'm going to dedicate my life to this, whether you like it or not, whether it makes you uncomfortable or not, whether you think it's crap or crazy.
I feel like I had no choice.
Yeah, me too.
It was sort of like, it was just denying such a part of me. I couldn't turn it off. But to continue my story, I was always toward, as I got into my teens and then I started to tell my mother, well, I'll be moving to Boston. And we were in Michigan, growing up around Detroit. And she'd look at me and go, why would you go there? And I'm like, I don't know, but I'm moving there. So as soon as I finished college, which was a little later than most, I was kind of full-time, part-time. Once I had done that, I got in the car one day and I drove out here. And one of the places I first went to, and I had gone there like on a visit 2 years before with a friend, but was Concord, Massachusetts, and that's the Rose Town. And I was an English major, and I wasn't a super good student, and reading him in high school for me was as bad as most people experienced in high school when they were, you know, taught to read Walden. But I went to that town and immediately connected to the energy, to the history of it, to the people there, and I was just amazed, like felt like I had just come home, you know, like, wow, all right. And that was sort of the beginning, but I was really young then, and I didn't want to live in a sleepy town. So I went into Boston. I lived in Cambridge for many years. And so I had sort of it was like a slow growth. But one of the things I write about in The Thorough Whisper, as this eventually came to be, this connection to Thoreau manifested in the way it did. But when I first arrived in town, one of the things I did was take a past life regression course. And the man that was teaching that class was giving readings. He just happened to live in a house near Walden Pond. So I found myself out in the backyard of his house. We were sitting on folding chairs in long grass, and he was giving me a reading. And in that reading, he said to me, there's a spirit here who wants to work with you. He wants to talk, talk and work with you. And I'm there and I'm young and I'm like not paying attention and not understanding. And I have a tape of that reading, and I realized years later then during the channeling, suddenly came to me one day, oh, my God, remember that reading, you know. And I went and dug it up, and I found the tape, and I played it back, and it. And he does. He talks about there's a spirit there that wants to connect with me and work with me. And I think now that was Thoreau, and it was like the early connection, you know, him coming, stepping in, saying, this is, you know, I'm here, sort of here when you're ready, I guess. But it was like 20 years later when I was finally ready. So it's kind of interesting.
Wow. It's a great story. It reminds me, you know, I mean, it's interesting because how, I mean, this is part of my, I'm going to ask you questions that are for my audience. I already know some of the answers because I do similar work. But I would like to ask you what I think anyone out there listening, how do you know it's him? Is it just a voice in your head? Does it sound like him? How do you differentiate between the two? How do you know it's really him?
Well, there's sort of, I'll try to make it a quick answer, but the rest, you'll know when it, when you know the full story, you begin to know. But part of what I talk about in the book, The Sorrow Whisperer, is my own experience of coming to terms with my gifts. And beginning to believe what I was being told, that it was, in fact, him I was talking to. The rest of my history there is, so I come into Massachusetts following this instinct. I'm young. I'm going to astrology classes. I'm learning to be an astrologer. I'm following this spiritual path. At the same time, I'm writing because I, at 12, I was just suddenly, you know, I wanted to be a writer, and this is what I was really drawn to do. And so I was studying literature and writing. I had gotten a BA in English. I came to Concord, the area, and I started reading about Thoreau, reading the books about him and everything. And I love to read the stories of his life and the other writers there, because it's a town where Emerson also lived, and Ralph Waldo Emerson and Nathaniel Hawthorne, Louisa May Alcott. These are, you know, famous American writers, and they all lived in this tiny little town in Massachusetts and were friends. So it's a fascinating time to read about. And when I wrote my first book, published my first book, which is called Honor in Concord, it's a story about my experience of being a psychic in that town. But I eventually moved to Concord it was like late 90s. And that was the first time I actually lived in the town. And at that point, I was becoming a member of the Thoreau Society, and to make this move this along quickly, I began to meet people through the Thoreau Society. One of the people I met was Thoreau scholar Brad Dean. When I met Brad, I was instantly drawn to him. It was just like, okay, wherever he's going to be, I'll be there too as much as I can. You know, I just felt like I needed to have a connection with him. And so I would just, you know, the Thoreau Society has an annual gathering every year where they present lectures and whatever. So I slowly became friendly with Brad, and he was a mentor to me in a graduate program that I was in. So we had that kind of connection for a while. And to move this along again, so over the years, so I'm doing all these different things. I'm writing, and I'm following my psychic interests through the New Age practices in the area, taking classes and whatnot. And into the 2000s, I had moved a few times, but I was back in Cambridge, and I had made this connection with Brad, who was the man who had edited and published Thoreau's unfinished manuscripts. So that made him quite famous at the time, and he was doing this back in the late 90s, and he published Faith in the Seed was one of them, and he eventually published a collection of letters called Letters to a Spiritual Seeker. And he told me during one of the meetings we had around my graduate program that I had inspired the title of that book because I had written to him and called me, or I had written in my application to the graduate program at Lesley that I consider myself a spiritual seeker. And he must have read those words just at the right moment. And he said he had named that book because of that. But at any rate, so Brad had done this, and when he published these books, which was really taking work that no one had seen before of Thoreau's and putting it out there, he became a bit of a celebrity, and that was a great time for him. So he was very admired in the Thoreau Society, huge Thoreau scholar, and I just sort of, you know, knew him, and like I said, felt very drawn to him, but We didn't see each other all the time. We didn't stay in touch. But I was just in my house one day in Cambridge, and it was the 1 year anniversary of my mother's death, and I was standing in front of these bookshelves that I had kept little mementos that were, you know, symbols, connections to my parents who had passed and my grandmother. And I was trying to connect to my mother, going to set out a candle for it. It was 1 year anniversary coming up. And suddenly, as I'm trying to tune into my mother, I tuned into Brad, and I'm talking to him. And I had last seen him at the gathering in July. This was in January it was happening. And I suddenly turned and looked, and I saw an image of him standing there. And I'm trying to come to terms with this, like, what's going on here? Why am I talking to Brad like I talked to Mom and Dad? You know, Brad's not dead. And then I found out later that night that he was. And he had passed from a heart attack 11 days before, and I was not aware of that because, again, it wasn't like we were regularly in touch or, you know, huge friends, and someone would have called to tell me. So I didn't know until he was there telling me himself, basically. And at that point, I went to Salem, Mass, where I've been going for years. I had a favorite psychic there. And my intention was to see him. It was George. I ended up seeing his partner, Barbara. And so Reverend Barbara, I had never had a reading with her before, and I sat down. She connected with Brad immediately. And it was in that connection, in that reading that day, that she said to me, not only is Brad going to continue to work with you from spirit, but prepare yourself, because in the fall, Thoreau is going to come through as well. And that was sort of the beginning of how it came about. So,
if any of you are watching on YouTube, I'm like shaking my head constantly listening to you. And what's incredible is that I had a boyfriend who died when I was 23, my daughter's age now, and he was 25, and we were together from the time I was 14 and he was 16. And we lived together in LA, and then we had a falling out over a few various things. And basically, I had to go back to Pittsburgh and help my mother. And there was a long story here, but, you know, I still loved him, of course. And he and I saw each other before I left. And, you know, and the next thing you know, I'm on a bus in the middle of Copenhagen, Denmark. And this spirit appears to me, and it's him. It's exactly the same story, Catherine. It's so weird. And I was 23, and I didn't know what was happening, and I thought I didn't know it was him, because all I could see is this orange image of a man. I couldn't see details. Mm-hmm. I could make out a beard. I could make out a navy pea coat, which Glenn used to wear all the time. And I kept dreaming of California. At the time, there were no cheap phone calls to to Europe ever. I mean, it was $10 a minute, you know, from Pittsburgh.
Right.
And my mother called me, and I said, "What's the matter? Someone, you know, what?" And she wanted to know, because she had heard through the grapevine that he had died. Anyway, he came to me. I began to understand the messages. He came every night in my dreams. And he said to me, "I'm going to be with you for always, and I love you, and guess what? I'm not dead." He kept telling me, "I'm not dead. I'm not dead. And years, many, 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 many years later, his sister, who I met when I was dating him in high school, his sister is on Facebook, and we reconnected, and she told me that everything I went through, his mother went through after he died. So there's your proof. You know, his mother had these experiences. They knew he was visiting them. He came to her in dreams and told her, "Look, I'm not really dead." And, you know, this is so much proof. This is, I built my whole life's work on the fact that this happened to me. So, wow.
Yeah, I mean, there's
a
moment.
We have a lot in common.
Yeah, we do. There's a moment in, sort of, I think, for my own personal evolution with this stuff, where I went from, you know, I always kind of knew, but I guess I want to say for people that when you reach the point where you no longer kind of, I believe, you know, this, or I believe that, and you're saying now, I know this, And I know
yeah.
it because I've seen it. I mean, I know Brad's
yeah.
still alive because I've seen him. We continue to connect. He's one of my guides. He's somebody I love very much. And he is always, in a sense, always with me, or at least always available. I don't think he spends his time watching me, you know, watch television or anything. But you know, I mean, they have things they
no,
do.
But he
it's
shows
a very
that.
Active other world. So anyhow, so to
yeah.
continue, so
now, Catherine,
so I
listen.
Had this moment.
Wait, Catherine. I have to take a little
mm-hmm.
mini break here because this is
yep.
I just the show the way it works, and we have music and we have beautiful music for this just a couple
yes,
minutes
absolutely.
So people can wet their
whistle. I just
whistle.
Want to get to Tomorrow.
We're
yep.
gonna get to him in the next 3 minutes. Okay.
Okay.
Well,
great.
And
yeah,
this is because your story is fascinating. Of course, I'm loving it. I went through very similar. But for all those people out
yeah.
there, I mean, look, here's us two gals. We never met, and we've had very similar. I wonder how many more people have had this. So, folks,
yeah.
we've got people already online want to talk to you. So we'll come back
great.
With Catherine McIntyre, the Thoreau Whisperer. And I'm going to play Forever Autumn because it was Justin Hayward's 73rd birthday. I love his music. I love the Moody Blues. I named my daughter after this song, and it just says
yeah.
everything
yeah.
we talked about. When Glenn died, this song really spoke to me, and I knew every time I hear it, I think about him. So here we go, Catherine.
Great.
We'll be back
okay.
in just a couple minutes with Catherine McIntyre. And it's Forever Autumn, sung by Justin Hayward, written by Jeff Wayne for the War Worlds. It's beautiful.
The summer sun is fading as the year grows old, and darker days are drawing near. The winter winds will be much colder. Now you're not here. I watch the birds fly south across the autumn sky, and one by one they disappear. I wish that I was flying with them. Now you're not here. Like the song through the trees, you came to love me. Like a leaf on a breeze, you blew. Love this time of year. a gentle rain falls softly on my weary eyes, as if to hide a lonely tear. My life will be forever autumn, 'cause you're not here.
Okay, we're back with Catherine McIntyre. Catherine, let's go right to the one and only Henry David Thoreau. So what happened?
Okay. All right. Well, what happened then after I had seen Brad that day and then I was told, you know, Thoreau will come in the fall. Well, in fact, he did, you know, but she also told me that during the time, she said, be ready because they're going to start talking to you in your dreams, you know, make sure to have paper nearby so you can write it all down. And it did, you know, that I began to see things coming in the dreams. I'd write it down. I had all these notes. So one day in the fall, I said, well, I'm going to sit down at the computer and just start recording these notes. And the next thing I know, I was receiving this image of what was essentially Thoreau's birth in Concord in 1812. And he, and so I went, so as I began to tell the story of what happened in the book, there's, it's sort of like the book is my story and it's also the Thoreau's words, but it became a third person piece that I was writing that day. And I got just to a certain point in it and all of a sudden the tense changed. And it was a first-person statement, and it was Thoreau, and he said, I am born David Henry Thoreau in this American town in this place called Concord. And at that point, I sat there and said, no, it can't possibly be him. I mean, this can't possibly be him that I'm hearing. But it was. I mean, I now fully believe it was. But I proceeded to then type. You know, so I'm at my computer, and I say, you know, I called it channeling, and in fact it is, but, you know, my old-fashioned idea of what channeling would be somehow I step out and he steps in. It wasn't like that. It was more like automatic writing that was taking place at my computer. I just closed my eyes, put my hands on the keyboard, and we just went for it. And I could hear him. You know, I've worked for years in offices, so I did transcription work, which is kind of an old-fashioned idea now with voice recognition and everything, but we used to have tapes and we would type what the lawyers or whoever said on the tape. Well, for me, it was like I had a tape in my head because I had words coming into my head and I'm writing them down. And that's how it began. So he, he says, you know, he's referring to himself in Concord. This is some of the channeling I'm going to read. He says, there's a boldness to me, a rugged truth that they are unable to relate to, that he's talking about the people of the town. They want their fine linens, fine dresses, fine homes, and comfortable surroundings. I bristle at the thought of their complacency. Is there not more to be learned and lived than that which takes place, cradling a child round the fire, perpetuating more and more life, and yielding our own to the propulsion of that effort? There's so much here, it's just hard to know what to read. So,
let me ask you a question. Does Thoreau talk about the afterlife?
He does. He talks about all of it. You know, he comes in, because this went on for a period of like 2.5 years. And it was so much fun for me, because once I got into the swing of it, you know, I was just living my life, and then I would, you know, I'd come home, or, you know, I'd get up in the morning. I work an evening shift. So I would go out for a bike ride, and then I'd come back and sit down, and they, you know, it would just be there. He'd be there. We'd just start it up again. So it came in pieces over the years. So when I was putting the book together, I had to decide how best to present this. And I ended up taking, you know, kind of collecting it by similar topics and presenting it that way. But, you know, he many times talked about the afterlife because that's what I wanted to talk about. And for me,
like,
you know, that's, you know, I mean, that's sort of my message again is saying to people, you know, wake up. Don't you realize that, you know, we're living our lives, but this is just one dimension of who we are. We're so much bigger. We do live on. And it isn't just that, like, we live on. It's like we continue to live. You know, it's like, to me, it's like, I'm going to go, you know, I'm a player on the play or on the stage. I'm going to go backstage and change my costume and come out as somebody else. And then I'm going to be that person. That'll be my next life. But, you know, backstage, we're in our totality. So, you know, for me, that's a big part of the message of the book and the message of the story is to say, well, not only does Thoreau live on or does Brad or does, you know, my parents and everyone else's parents and loves and everyone else is out there too. So it changes your, I don't know, perspective of life, or so perspective of how you, I think, how you act in life, how you treat other people, how you treat yourself. I mean, everything changes. That's truly when you wake up, when you get that and like really grok that. So Thoreau talks about that and let me just see here. There's this really beautiful passage about solitude that I like to read. I'll just read the first part of it. He says, "There were times when the solitude I craved at Walden was available to me, and I basked in it. I would, on sunny days, position myself there in my doorway and allow myself to sink as deeply as I could into the surrounding atmosphere, into the waves of light and energy that flowed to me, and drift as far as I could out into that universe, and let myself sense myself as that free and noble creature that I knew existed within me. Those were the times that I fully understood that I was more than this body that I had come to occupy." So that's one of my favorites.
Because many people may not have read the book, and so let's go back just a little bit. So you started channeling him. And surprise, being a person who was already very, you know, familiar with listening to a voice and typing, here comes his story. Now, where does he begin? I mean, does he, "Hi, my name is Henry David Thoreau, and by the way, can you just take down everything I want to say?" Or does he begin by talking to you? Does he ask you questions? Do you have a relationship with him, so to speak? Or are you just really functioning as a medium?
It was very casual, and we began very friendly and relaxed. I personally believe I was connecting to Thoreau for many years prior to this happening in various ways. No, I was definitely always connecting, you know, to him and had ideas coming from him, but just never in such a formal way where I was like, okay, now I know I'm actually connecting and now we're going to sit down and do this book. So it was very much a casual kind of, you know, I just joke with him. I mean, it was just sort of like this presence and he would be, in the same way that I saw Brad's spirit that day, I would occasionally look over and see Thoreau and we would have there's part of the book I write about where I had a gathering of people at my house and a friend of mine looked over and she said, you know, he's standing right there. So she could see him too. So it was fun to know that somebody else could see him.
And how, Catherine, how was he dressed? Was he dressed in his time?
I always saw him as Thoreau. But he says to me in the channeling, you know, that Thoreau is only one of his manifestations as well. So he is not just Thoreau, he is in his totality as well on the other side. So he has been other people. But the thing is, when a life is as big as that one, you know, that it starts to overpower. So he talks about a phenomenon where because people have valued his life so much and the work that he did, it in a sense keeps him tied to that one life. And I think that's something he has had to reconcile as the person who's done that. But some of these topics. Some of these subjects get a little gray sometimes too, because I've had psychics tell me that Thoreau was a composite spirit, and that one of the reasons I feel so connected to him and so able to connect is that I was one of the spirits, one of the souls that fed that lifetime as well. So a composite spirit being, or a composite, like a, I guess I'm saying that right. But the idea of a composite spirit is that it's not just one spirit, one body. It's like multiple spirits feeding that one lifetime. So I had somebody tell me, not only me, but that Brad and others had come together to create the life and the person who was Thoreau. And
well,
so
when
I
you
just
have
intention.
Yeah, when you have intention, you know, intention in metaphysics is a very powerful tool, you know, and
yeah.
If your intention is to be heard, you know, and you have something to say, or the message is potent, you know, and must be heard, then there's there's a will, there's a way. Before we go to the next break, and we still have 10 minutes left before that, I'd like to talk about, because, you know, his channeling will be in your book, which is called The Thoreau Whisperer. Now, how long did it take you to write this book?
Well, the channeling part went on for about 2.5 years, and then it took me a good, I don't know, you know, I worked full time, I was doing other things. It took me about 6 years to put it together, probably.
Right,
so
and when you presented it for
2006. So.
Okay, and when you presented it for publication, how was it accepted? Because
not,
some people,
you know,
might
not,
say, "She's yeah." Go on, say it.
Not that well. I mean, I ended up self-publishing it again because I sort of it was time to get it out there, and you know, every one of the channels I was going up to try to find a paying publisher and a traditional publisher was. You know, they just weren't open to the idea, and I'm always astonished at that, because I'm continually told how important the book was, how meaningful for them that it was done, meaning spirit, and that it will be read. So I just wait.
Sometimes.
I wait for people to find it.
Okay, I want to make a point here, and I think it's important. If anyone in the world of publishing is listening, wake up. People are channeling the most profound people who need to be heard. I have self-published not only all my books on metaphysics and teaching with the tarot, I've also self-published my own oracle, which is based on all these wonderful and wise people who have come on my show, and it's called In This Metaphysical Moment, which I do at the end of every show, which is a summing up. And I too have, you know, thought, well, I'm just going to self-publish. Now, the thing is we can all self-publish, right? It's available to everyone around the world. You know, I use Blurb, some people use BookBaby, whatever. But the publishing houses are all folding one after another after another. I have to say, even Hay House, which I'm very disappointed since Louise Hay died, is really the same old, you know. And when they do their things like I Can Do It, it's so expensive. Only the rich can do it, you know. So publishers, you know, wake up. There's loads of really astute psychic mediums. Light workers who are really have great material. It's not made up. It's not crazy. You know, they are in touch and in tune. You see, when you put the real thing in front of a publisher, that sometimes it's like, oh no, I can't be bothered. Right. So I just want to make a plea there for your book. I think, you know, because it's important. There's good people writing great material.
No, I agree 100%. I mean, when people have read the book, I'm getting just astonishing reactions to it, which I did with my first book as well. And I just go, I know. I mean, because the writing between me and Thoreau, this is a very well-written and beautiful book. And that was really my goal in putting it together. I kept saying to Spirit, you know, like, I just want to put out this beautiful, beautiful book that in this world of craziness where everybody's forgetting the truth and everyone, you know, has lost track, that they can take a moment and just sit and be reminded not only that they are spirit, they will live on, and that they have within them the power to connect to the divine, that true divine spirit of God that is there. I'm not talking about different religions. Every religion is going to feed off that same divine source that we are from. And that's Thoreau's message, and it always was in his work, in his time. The transcendental message is go within, seek truth within yourself, because that's where you're going to find it, and you're going to find it through that direct connection to the divine, and only trust that. That's where you see,
right, now,
if you read Thoreau's pieces on politicalness and all of that, that's what he's saying. Don't trust the majority, trust yourself. So
okay, let me just interject. Hold on, Catherine. Let me just, because this is a two-way story here. Let me interject. The lovely Dove is in the chat room. She left the conversation because she didn't like what I said to her. Listen to this. She wrote, I think to myself, what thing or things do I need to do in order to fully connect to the other side? Since my mother's passing, I can smell her cigarette smoke at times. I smell her cooking. Her scent comes in strong as well. During those times, I paused and spoke out to her. And so according to me, I received no response or nothing further. And then she wrote, I just don't know what to do, what I need to do in order to fully connect to spirit. Well, guess what, sweetheart? You have to train. It's not, if you're not as gifted or you weren't born with a gift, you have to train. If you said to me, I want to win a marathon, what do I do? Get out there and train. So I wrote to her, train in mediumship. That is what you need to do. And if that is why a lot of people, grief is the greatest teacher for making people wake up, how do I connect to the other side? You either go to a medium or you become a medium. It's just that simple. Would you agree?
That's true. Yeah, I would agree with that. I also would say a part of that, too, is learn to trust yourself, because she may be connecting and then just dismissing it. I mean, I was the queen of dismissing it for years because, you know, my mother would just dismiss it, so I would, too, or I would try to. But, you know, there may be a connection there. You have to learn to trust that you know, and know when you are connecting. So that's just part of it, too.
That's okay. We do have a caller, which we're going to get to you, caller, in the next segment of the show. We're going to talk much more with our guest, Catherine McIntyre. I want to play, she wrote a book called The Thoreau Whisperer. And Catherine, do you want to tell people your website?
My website is The Thoreau Whisperer. I mean, sorry, it's going to be that. The current website is The Conquered Writer. And The Conquered Writer was the first website I put up, is Henry. That's Thoreau. Thoreau is the Conquered Writer, not me. But it's just the word the, T-H-E, Conquered, C-O-N-C-O-R-D, Writer, WRITER.com.
Okay.
And it is dedicated to the words, wisdom, and enduring spirit of Thoreau. So.
Okay. I want to go because it goes so quickly, this show. It's like you blink and it's over with.
Yeah.
My point is not to give them the whole book. My point is to give them what we say in England, asparagus tips. So, you know, wet their whistle, let them go out and buy the book and read it, you know, because that's what you want. You want people to read the whole book. But
if they like Thoreau or they like to read his quotes, but they could never, you know, sit down and stomach reading through Walden or whatever, this is a real nice way to get his message.
Well,
It's kind of fun that you are putting
yourself in there as the channeler, you know, and that's important too.
Yeah.
I want to talk about Don Henley because Don Henley, many years ago, he is the drummer of the Eagles, if you don't know. And Don, it's very interesting, this connection, because I'll tell you something for nothing. My cousin is Patty Smythe. That's my mother's sister's daughter. Patty Smythe, Patty Smythe.
I know
She did a song with Don Henley, which is just unbelievable, the connection. So here we go again. It's just funny. I just so Don. I know yeah. that Don Henley. I knew that because about I also
Don.
Know
he's a hero in Concord. You know, among
yeah,
most
I met
people.
Him at my cousin's wedding, which is really funny. Her first marriage.
Yeah.
So let
he's
me
great.
Just go. Okay, let's talk about Don Henley and the Walden Woods Project. Now I have a quote. So we're not going to talk about it. I'm just going to play it. It's only a minute long. And then we'll come back mm-hmm. and we'll talk more about what this is about, because I think it's very relevant to what we're speaking about. So here we go. Here's the quote. It's called Don Henley and the Walden Woods Project.
While growing up in rural Northeast Texas, Don Henley developed an early appreciation for the outdoors. In school, he was an avid reader of Thoreau and Emerson. Thus began his lifetime commitment to environmental causes, including the preservation of Thoreau's Walden Woods outside Boston. Don founded the nonprofit Walden Woods Project 25 years ago when he learned that historic and ecological sites near Walden Pond were threatened with commercial development. His leadership of the organization earned him the National Humanities Medal. Don's commitment to the Walden Woods Project is largely manifested behind the scenes, where he has effectively guided the growth and mission-driven objectives of the organization. The Walden Woods Project has protected 14 key sites and is at the forefront of saving other endangered land in Walden Woods. The education programs of the organization are offered to teachers and students. They keep Thoreau's legacy alive by engaging a new generation in solutions to global environmental challenges. The Walden Woods Project's Global Environmental Leadership Award and its Challenge Awards inspire others to become environmental advocates and active stewards of our natural resources.
Amen, Don. And for, we're just going to go right into, we're at the top of the hour, got to play the next song, and it is My Thanksgiving by Don Henley, and we'll be back with Catherine McIntyre and the Thoreau Whisperer. Don Henley wrote this. We're coming up to Thanksgiving. We're coming up to Halloween at the end of the month. And, of course, Cafe Esoterica Radio will be off the air for these things. So I just thought, well, this ties in very nicely. We'll be back in a couple minutes.
Some of them are funny, some of them ain't no joke, and I trust you will forgive me if I lay it on the line. I always thought you were a friend of mine. With this nation, too many blessings, too little appreciation, and I know that kind of notion, well, it just ain't cool, so send me back to Sunday school, because I'm tired of waiting for reasons. Satisfying work. I got a back there. enchanted world. You know, I still believe in learning how to give love and how to receive it, and I would not be among those who abuse this privilege. Sometimes you get the best light from a burning bridge, and I don't mind saying that I still love it all. You know, I wallowed in the springtime, now I'm welcoming the fall. Oh, every moment of joy, every hour of fear, for every winding road that brought me here, for every breath, for every day of living, this is my thanksgiving. For everyone who helped me start, and for everything that broke my heart, for every breath, for every day of living, this is my thanksgiving.
Absolutely beautiful song by Dawn Henley of the Eagles, who really championed and made sure Walden Pond and Walden Woods would stay forevermore. I'm back. We're back.
He's a hero.
Yes, Catherine McIntyre. Okay, Catherine, let's go on to what we were talking about. Let's talk about Dawn Henley. Let's talk about Walden Woods. Let's talk about the book Walden. Any mention of these things in your book?
Oh, yes, many times. One of the earliest passages is about Walden. I had it out a second ago. It's central to Thoreau's story, so, you know, he knows when people want to hear about it. So he talked a bit about his, you know, the time he spent there.
I know he lived there, didn't he? He lived there for a while.
He lived there for two years. Actually, yeah. Effectively 2 years, 2 months, and 2 days. He talks about this here. He calls it Walden, the Great Adventure. This is one of the earliest bits of channeling I receive. He says, "You have an expression, I am just a girl. As I approach Walden, I will say, I am just a boy, or was a boy then, still in heart and mind, idealistic in my desire to prove something or to live in the context of an ideal in my mind. There is life, our ideas of life, and then there is the life we live. I am aware and was aware at the time that there was a difference between who I was and my life as it was when I lived at Walden, and the life that I, through the use of techniques and strategies, organization and artistry, presented in that book." So I can go on or not, but he says, "We mythologize ourselves and our lives as writers. In a way, it was that, but then at some level it was not, because the mean life is always more brutal and honest than the recorded version can be. This we know, as writers we know. There is me, and the me that I write about, and those are two different things." So he's talking about his own experiences of living at Walden versus what he said about it in the book that he wrote. Mm-hmm. So he has a lot of interesting things to say about himself and his life throughout the channeling. But,
does he ever talk about modern life?
He does. He talks about some of the use of devices all the time and how we lose our souls, basically. It's like you put a part of yourself into that. And he warns about, you know, being careful what you're losing by doing that. It's like, you know, giving away a part of yourself in order to entertain yourself. Let me just say.
That's very interesting, because I do worry about children. You know, my daughter was obsessed, you know, just because of her age group, she wanted to be on every device going, you know, and it's they're all on it. So it's just like crazy to try and get them off it. They become addicted to these things.
Yeah, they're addicted.
So, yeah, that makes sense. Right. Let's talk about, I'd like to move on. I know you're an astrologer, and I also know, do you still do astrological consultations?
You know, I used to do them a little bit. I do them more for friends. I don't do them professionally necessarily. I would, but
okay.
I'm just so busy with everything else. I don't really go about doing that.
Do you do any? Do you
but
do
I'm
any
fascinated
other types
by astrology.
Of yes, astrology.
I am.
I
think one of the reasons I'm so good as an astrologer when I do the readings, if I do say so myself, is because I have this ability to connect. So I use astrology more as like, let's see what the plan was initially. Now let's tune in a little bit. And then we get to a greater depth, I think, sometimes. And I'll get a quick insight or something, you know, during a reading like that. And I feel pretty good when I'm able to do that for someone. I tend to like to do that more for people on a, like people I know. You know, friends and that, rather than to charge for the service and do it that way. So I might eventually go back to that, but for now I kind of just keep it more casual with my friends. So
do you do any other kind of like tarot readings, mediumship channeling, things like that?
Not in a professional way. I kind of just use the ability to kind of inform the writing and share my messages that way.
So I'm going to go. I'm sorry, I'm jumping around. It's just I've got to get all this stuff in before we close, right? So, you know, it's really fascinating because when I looked on your website, I saw, you know, you're obviously involved in a lot of things spiritual, metaphysical. You mentioned that another person, you're working on another book now.
I am. I'm working on a third book. It's sort of... This is why I've moved. I recently moved up to Rockport, Massachusetts. I wanted to set this in a seaside town, and I started to do it in Marblehead. But it's a romance, but it involves somebody who has that ability to connect the spirit and has someone pass away that is close to her, who comes to her. So it is based on, in part, on the experiences I've had with connecting to Bert, you know, my friend Brad in spirit. And then so it's going to be a story of, I guess, in the sense of a metaphysical romance with his, you know, historical undertones, I guess. So that's what I'm up to now.
Okay, that's great. That's very interesting. Now, let me just go to the next thing. So what do you think, I hear it, so it's a silly question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. What do you think your mission is here? What is your mission? You know, how do you see your mission here?
In this life?
Yes.
I'm writing my books. I think that, you know, when this began to happen, one of the things that came through was that they were coming to me, sort of like the answer to the why me question, was in part because I could understand it and had this ability. So I think that I think I'm here not to use my gift to read, you know, give people little readings, but to use it to be a avenue, I guess, in some sense, for those in spirit to get their message out through me, in a sense. So I'm kind of doing it that way as far as my contribution then. And then just to share my own experience, because I've had a vast amount of experiences with the paranormal and the spiritual, just because I am so open. So, I mean, I've had the UFO experience. I've done all of that. I can pretty much tune into the energies of, you know, all that stuff out there, and then I don't want to say this. I have experiences related to that, so it becomes kind of interesting. I recently met somebody who's very interested in the Bigfoot phenomena, and next thing I know is I'm drawn into that, and I'm getting messages from those, you know, I don't know how to refer to some of this stuff, to the Sasquatch, to the, you know, that all of a sudden I'm like, wow, really? You know, I don't think I want to talk to you today. So I'm always amazed by what's coming toward me from, you know, I guess the other side, the spirit realm, whatever.
There was a wonderful woman, my God, I'll never remember her name. She just passed. and I can just about see her name, and she wrote on every subject. You know what I mean? In the paranormal, UFOs, even vampires and some of the negative stuff, you know? And her name just escapes me, but she was about roughly about my age, a little bit older. So she was in her late 60s, let's say, when she died. And, you know, that is such a forerunner. You know, the thing is it's okay now, you see on every TV channel, Most Haunted and Ghostbusters and whatever else. The truth is, and here's the truth, right? And I hope you're going to back me up on this. Spirit is way too busy to be sitting there haunting people. Honestly, what? They have their own lives in the afterlife. You know, they're not interested.
Yeah, they're
right?
busy doing stuff. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
For the most part, yes. I mean, not that there aren't some, you know, negative entities attached to certain places that are up to stuff. You know, I always tell people, look, if it's going on here, it's going on there. I mean, we don't just magically transform into different types of beings because we cross over. You know, if you're kind of evil here, you might just be up to evil over there, too. That's not reassuring, but I do believe that's true.
So how does a soul transform then?
Well, I think that's available. I just think they don't always. I think there are avenues out. Like, it's like, okay, everybody who wants to transform or evolve, go over in this room, and then the others are sneaking out the back door. I just think it's, you know, we have a lot of free will, and it's all in what we manifest. Thoreau talks about this in a little bit in the book of, you know, going over to the other side and the different levels, and how he says he prefers to reside where he is now, which is sort of it's almost like a medium realm where he can look up and he can see what's above him, but he can also see what's below. And he talks about kind of that, that knowledge of, you know, he feels that he wants to continue to communicate with this realm. He needs to stay in the middle. If he continues to grow and go up, he won't be able to do that anymore. That's what he's talking about in the book. What I'm talking about is that I think we have a choice sometimes on what level we either evolve or devolve into, and that's very much a personal decision that we are oddly free to make.
It can take lifetimes, you know.
It can take lifetimes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. It's not an overnight process. And I just want you to know we lost our caller. I don't know why they hung up, but they did. And so we have no caller. So if you want to talk to Catherine, we got to. Yes, I agree. Says Viva 3 in the chat room. Okay. I read it out there, Viva. So you have a mention. So if you want to call in and speak to my lovely guest, it's 858 in the United States. If you're outside the United States, call the code to the USA, which is 001. So 001 outside the United States, 858-956-3204. This is the last show of our season. We have the wonderful and wise, very tuned in, Catherine McIntyre, which is a nice Scottish name. You must have ancestry in Scotland.
Isn't it a nice Scottish name? My father, his family from Scotland, yeah. His parents had just come over, so yeah. One of the most interesting parts of my genealogy interest was discovering that not only did I, like, I grew up being told, oh, all your relatives are over in England, and or they're in Scotland, or, you know, and it come to find out there was a trail off my dad's family that led into New England and led me back to Thoreau, actually. So that was very much a fun part of the discovery.
Very interesting. We have a caller.
Yeah, I mean, I was sitting down to channel one day, and he tapped my shoulder and said, I am your cousin, too. And I was like, what? So, yeah.
See, and that's very interesting, that ancestry, because, and I wanted to say, there's a very famous comedian here called Michael McIntyre, who everyone loves. He's so funny. You should watch him on YouTube. He's very funny. McIntyre, same surname, probably a cousin, you know? Okay, we have 9 minutes left. I do have to play us out with the music, and I will be reading the In This Metaphysical Moment. We do have a caller. We have 3 minutes for this call. I have to time it. I'm sorry. So let's go to the caller. I said I would take a call. So here we go. Area code 978. You're on the air with Catherine. Say your name. What's your question? Great. No answer. Hello? 978. Can you hear me? Hello? Okay. Well, I guess I can. Okay. Well, that didn't work. I don't know why, but it didn't work. 978. Can you hear me? Hello, hello, hello. Well, Catherine, let's move on.
Okay.
I don't know why they're calling again. Here we go. Hold on. Let's try it again. Hold on, wait a minute.
Wait, who's that's this? my number, though.
You're 978, right.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, let's try this again then. Hold on a second.
Hi.
Who's speaking?
Can you hear me? Can
yes.
you hear me?
Yes, 914. Is that you?
Yes, and it was me earlier also, but we keep losing service for some reason, and my phone keeps ringing. And so, how are you?
I'm good, but we only have a really very short time, so ask your question.
Oh my goodness, I was so busy listening to her story, I don't even know what I was going to ask anymore. Very, very interesting. I'm very intrigued. Oh my goodness, I don't even know. I can't even remember what I was going to ask. If there's any messages from spirit, I know they want to yell at me.
I don't think Catherine's going to be channeling. I don't think Catherine's going to be tuning in and channeling to give messages today, are you, Catherine?
No, that's not. I mean, sometimes I'll pass something along if I get
that's
it.
That's fine.
That's not really my thing.
I was very interested in what you were saying, and very fascinating, actually. And I was one of the questions because I'm Viva in the chat room. One of my questions for you were, during your life's journey, was there any time, I'm sure there was problems, but that it would get so bad that you would have to pick and choose what you're going to focus on, because it gets so much at one time, just, you know, do you understand what I mean?
Yeah. You asked me that. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, and I work full time. I mean, it's
right. Okay.
It's
yeah.
You know, there's so much going on. Sometimes I do have to pick and choose. Like, what am I going to focus on this week? I tend to, like, whatever it is I'm feeling the most sort of passion for at the moment, I'll go for it. Because I think that's more productive, even though it's a little scattered.
Right.
But, you know, when your energy's there and it wants you to go in that direction, then that's why I try to follow that. But
did you ever get too tired, like, to continue your path in life? Like, well, your journey, your spiritual journey, I mean. Like, was
I
there
get
a more,
tired
like,
with the channeling. I would be like, nah,
yeah.
I'm not going to talk to you today. And then I'd
right.
go over and sit on the sofa and be like, I'm going to watch a movie. And then pretty soon they'd be over me going, get over there. And be like, go sit down. We have something to say.
Yeah.
So, it was like, you know, it was like really funny moments that I would have to just go with it. Like, okay, well, fine. I've committed to this. I'll do it. But, yeah,
right.
It's just funny.
Okay,
I mean,
girls, I'm really sorry to be the bad apple
that's
here.
That's okay.
I have to cut
no,
it short.
No.
Thank you, Viva,
it
for
was,
calling in. Thank you very
you're
much.
You're very welcome. And wonderful hearing your story. Beautiful.
Thank
you very much
thank
for taking
so
my
much.
Call.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank
and
you.
And, folks, we're going to have to wind it up now. Catherine, thank you so much for being a wonderful guest.
You're welcome.
Your story
welcome.
is an amazing story, and please, people, support my guests by buying their books. Come on. It's not that expensive. You can get it where? On Amazon?
Amazon, on Barnes & Noble. It's a Book Baby book, so you can also get it directly from Book Baby. It's out as an ebook as well as paperback, and you can and really get it anywhere. It's on Amazon UK as well.
Right.
I don't know. Book Baby offers like this huge list of all the different distributors that you can get it from. So like Kobo and all these places. I don't even have I don't even know all of them, but so pretty much if you go to one, usually it'll probably be there, you know, if there's one that you like to use.
Okay,
so,
Catherine,
and you can get it,
thank you.
You can get signed copies from the bookstore at Walden Pond. So it's the shop at Walden Pond. Just Google that and then get on there. You can get a signed copy that way if you want a signed copy.
Wonderful. Viva says, I'm definitely getting it. Thank you again. There is another caller, but we don't
Great.
Have time. So, Catherine, thank you so much. I'm going to end the show
thank
now.
Thank you, Sean.
God bless you, and keep doing great work. We really
thank
need it.
Thank you so very much. I really appreciate it.
Thanks to Thoreau as well.
Yeah, I know. Thanks, Henry.
Thanks, Henry.
I hope he's having a good day.
I'm sure he is, because the world heard all about him today. Okay, I have to close the show up. I'm going to just mute your mic, Catherine. Thank you again.
Okay.
And God bless.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And folks, this is it. This is the last show of this season. Thank you all, to my guests, my listeners, to my wonderful, wonderful, all over the world, people who called in, people who've written in the chat room, who've taken the time to listen, even in the archives when we weren't live on air. I so appreciate your patronage and your listening and supporting my guests as well as the show itself. And now for the final In This Metaphysical Moment, it's called Endings and Goodbyes, appropriately enough. Sometimes in life, we must let go and move on. All of us walk the path of an eventual goodbye. It, like all the seasons, shine their brilliance, radiate for a time, then slowly decay and die away to allow the next bright and glossy scenery to evolve through their cycle. Relationships are the same. We start off so small, needy, and dependent on our mothers, and we slowly but surely learn how to grow up, letting go with each stage of development, assuring not only ourselves we can do it, but our loving and concerned parents as well. If we become too dependent on others, we are codependent, and that creates a sense of helplessness. And if we are too independent, then we are aloof and estranged from others without getting any of our emotional needs fulfilled. So the balance is always the right way. Sometimes that presents as a goodbye, when all we need and want from that other person is done, accomplished, or that person dies, passed away, and we cannot take from them anymore. Only through our dreams can we connect, or a medium. As in all of life, we have cycles. And in this metaphysical moment, I do not try to control the cycles of life, death, and even rebirth, for they all serve a necessary purpose. Each teaches, enlightens, heals, and transforms, and therefore a goodbye is only a hello waiting somewhere else. For all our goodbyes and hellos teach us to cherish our special times together. Thank you so much for everyone who's listened. My guest tonight, Catherine McIntyre, do get her book, The Thoreau Whisperer, and I'm going to play us out with a little Halloween music because it's coming up, and it's called The Season of the Witch by Donovan. Have a great time till January. God bless you all, and good night. Say goodbye.
Many sights to see, and when I look in my window, so many different people to be. That is strange, so strange. You got to pick up every stitch. Must be the season of the witch. Must be the season of the witch, yeah. Must be the season of the witch.
summer cat looking over. His shoulder at me, and he's strange. Sure, he's strange. You got to pick up every stitch. You got to pick up every stitch, yeah. Beatniks out to make it.
Again, thank you, Catherine McIntyre. Thank you to all the people who were in the chat room tonight and called in. Blessings to you all. Happy Halloween. Happy Thanksgiving. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. And Happy New Year. See you in January 2020 with more enlightened guests. And listen, don't forget you can find us on not just Blog Talk Radio, 3 years of shows with great, wonderful awakened guests await you, not only on blogtalkradio.com/Cafe Esoterica Radio, which is our homepage on Blog Talk Radio, but also acast.com, Spotify, tunein.com, podbean.com, stitcher.com. Go and look. If you use any of those formats to listen to music, you can find, just put in podcast and you will find Cafe Esoterica Radio there. I love you all. God bless. And-